This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing today?
Doing great today, Bo.
All right. Who do we have on tap for today?
We're going to have an interesting discussion today, Bo. Our guest today is Mr. John Lesko. John is a distinguished Toastmaster, a past district governor, and an author. And he's joining us today from Northern Virginia. John Lesko, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, John.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us today, John. So I'll set up our discussion today. We're going to be focusing today on how authors or aspiring authors can benefit from Toastmasters. And our regular listeners may know that this is a topic of particular interest for Bo and I, as they may know that we are in the publishing space. We have a company that does publishing.
Called eBookIt.
.com.
Throw the plug out there, Ryan. It's okay.
And the angle we're going to take today is sort of the obvious approach to this is, okay, well, if an author has a book published, then the natural thing to do would be to use Toastmasters to brush up on their speaking skills as they might be heading out for book signings and hitting the lecture circuit, book readings, those sorts of things. But we're actually going to take a little bit different approach and talk about how again, the author or aspiring author can use Toastmasters in the process of writing the book and working on their content before they're at the point of publishing. So, John, I know that you have a book that's about to be published, your next book. And why don't you just kick us off by telling us a little bit about where you're at in the process with your book. And, of course, tell us what your book is and what it's about.
Thank you. I'll do that if you give me a moment to tell you about the first book I put out. I won't go into any great details with that, but it was a group project and was published maybe 15, 20 years ago. I've lost track of when it was first published. It came out in two editions. But it was with a corporate or vanity press, a Battelle press. It was a nonfiction piece. I was the lead author and editor of a small research team, and the intellectual property was part of the corporate work that was done, and it was paid for by the government. And it was on the heels of that experience as a nonfiction writer that I learned that, boy, after you publish something, you got to talk about it. And shortly after learning how ill-prepared I was for that talking part, I joined Toastmasters. So in some ways, the writing came first and the speaking came second. And my joining of Toastmasters was right on the heels of what was, a non-fiction vanity press bestseller. And that was back in the days of early internet. Technology Exchange in the Information Age was the title of that work. And so 20 years ago, I had this other idea, and I learned about, maintaining intellectual property control and, making sure you write your second book, on your own time and that you own it and it. You can not only share it with your readership, but perhaps profit from it. So that's the origins of book two, which is the one that has been 20 years in the making, or maybe more like 10 years since I actually made that first New Year's resolution in a goal-setting way. Had people coming up to me and saying, boy, those techniques are working. You've got a book there. You should write a book. So in the back of my mind, the origins of book number two were from the encouragement of folks who are my clients that saw promise in this new idea.
Okay. John, I don't know if your experience was anything like mine, but after I wrote my first book, before I joined Toastmasters, I did an interview on the radio, and I never been more nervous in my entire life. And I probably said about 10 minutes of complete gibberish. Fortunately, I don't think that recording exists anymore. I think the radio station even just burned it because it was so bad. But it was that experience that led me to Toastmasters. Did you have a similar experience that when you just kind of looked back and said, oh, boy, I'm really terrible at this. I need some help. Or was it less dramatic than that?
Well, maybe a little less dramatic. I don't think anyone burned the tapes, but the nervousness doesn't go away. I mean, for example, you know, hearing of this interview, which is a little bit of nervousness. It's that old expression about, you know, getting the butterflies to fly in formation. You'll have the butterflies. That's a healthy thing. In my past life, having jumped out of a helicopter and an airplane before, you always want the butterflies. Keeps you on your toes.
Right.
But to answer your question directly, yeah, I did not do as well as I would have liked in the public speaking arena as we were talking about the first work. And as I was then taking various clients through a number of workshops, I'm going to just name the organizations. I'm a member of the International Association of Facilitators, and I'm a member of the International Coach Federation. And there's a regional organization I belong to called the Mid-Atlantic Facilitators Network. And each of these organizations would have occasional workshops, and I would present at those. And I would rehearse my workshop presentation on this concept called facilitating genius, how to illuminate the brilliance that's in your organization. There's the title for you, you know, the title and the subtitle, or at least the working title and subtitle right now.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you facilitate the genius that's in the organization that you're assisting? I believe that there's talents and skills in all organizations, and you know, managers, leaders, facilitators, their task is to help uncover that genius and to reveal it. So I developed some experiential individual and small group exercises that would be a part of a workshop. And so along the way, a colleague of mine said, you know, you should come and join Toastmasters. This would be an opportunity, a place where you can practice some of your material, share with our colleagues and clients what it is you're writing about, and get some constructive criticism or feedback in the form of evaluations. Those were just nuggets of gold because the material just kept getting stronger, and I spoke a little bit more articulately each time I would share what I was sharing. And my wife, of course, encouraged me to join Toastmasters. She said, you know, go to Toastmasters, learn to say more by saying less.
That would be good on a business card for Toastmasters.
It could be. The word choice is so important. Timing, we learn in meetings. We let the audience, you know, absorb the message, process it, and give us feedback, even if it's nonverbal feedback.
Yeah,
right. So, John, where are things at with your book now?
It's in the pre-publication manuscript phase. It's out with about a dozen reviewers, friends and colleagues I know and trust, giving me different points of view from either collegial feedback as how the professionals might use the book, people who are managers and leaders in organizations, a few select friends and family, those that are better writers or better editors, better graphic designers than I am. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that I really enjoyed about Toastmasters is I think it was actually Ralph Smedley that wrote in his book that, you know, you join a club and you're surrounded by this talent. You don't know what combination of skills and abilities all your fellow members have, but by the end of, you know, several months, several years, you've got a college degree, although it's informal and very much a community college. So I've had feedback on various ideas and various pieces of this work from across the community. That's why I'm pretty confident about its potential audience out there. You know, I've already heard back from potential readers through Toastmasters.
Yeah. So how did that work? As you're writing the book, were you taking, let's say, maybe a chapter at a time and delivering that as obviously not word for word as a speech, but taking the content and delivering it in a single speech, or using you know, examples from the book in a speech context? How did that, what did that look like for you?
Yeah, especially considering that you have to narrow it down to 5 to 7 minutes on average.
Usually, yeah.
Excellent question. And, you know, the good news I think about writing today is that chapters become shorter and to the point, and each of them probably serves as the genesis or the basis of a 5 to 7 minute presentation. Mm-hmm. So yes, the answer is yes. Yes and yes and yes to the three suggestions that you teed up for me there. I would, if I was talking about a concept or a theory, I would present that concept or theory perhaps in one speech, you know, get some feedback from the audience, from the various clubs I'd visited. And then the neat thing about Toastmasters is you can give that speech again at another club.
Right.
Be a guest speaker at a new club, a new audience, and they may or may not have heard the mistakes you made the first time. But now the second time around, much like a contest speech that you shop around to get feedback, the same could be said about pieces and sections of a chapter or in a book. So that would be exactly what I would do. And occasionally I'd just be checking out something as simple as an illustration or a worksheet that was between the chapters. You know, as a district leader, you would, in Toastmasters, through Toastmasters, have the opportunity to teach leadership and how to organize a meeting in the Leader Excellence series of manuals and advanced manuals that deal with facilitation or the leader as coach. Those are, I think, also in the Leadership Excellence series. And so you're presenting Toastmasters material, but you have to many times do that around an active activity or a small group exercise. To make it my own, I'd throw in a worksheet or an exercise that I was playing with, seeing how an idea from the book would resonate with a real audience.
Right.
Now, John, when I was doing this, when I started my first book, I was doing pretty much the same process. I was bringing the different chapters, the different ideas to my Toastmasters clubs and delivering them as 5 to 7 minute speeches. However, one thing that I did differently is I really wanted feedback on the content itself. And generally the Toastmasters feedback is geared towards the delivery, which is good, of course. I wanted that, but I had to make a specific note to the evaluator to pay attention to the content, and especially with group evaluations that we have in one of our other clubs, to make sure the group knows that, okay, besides just the delivery, pay attention to the content. And a lot of the questions that I wrote, the custom questions for the evaluation, had to do with the content. Did you do anything like that in order to help steer the direction of your book?
Yes, and I'll focus on the and part rather than repeating what you've just offered. The and part was, if the speaker takes not only the initiative with the assigned evaluator, mm-hmm. but also works with other members of the club, there's no rules against having more than one person evaluate your speech.
Right.
And a simple request to a fellow club member saying, hey, yeah, I know I'm going to get an official evaluation, which is going to help towards, you know, the competent leadership credit in the competent leadership book for that particular evaluator, but I'm really interested in hearing, you know, your take on, you know, this concept, and asking other people in the club, because it's a mutual, you know, mutually supportive learning environment. You know, you just get as much feedback as you're willing to accept and that you're ready to digest and you know, not all of it's palatable. You know, some of the feedback hurts and stings, but you know, that kind of feedback helps make your speaking and your writing better.
Sure. Sure. I think that's an important point that many Toastmasters overlook, and that is the fact that the evaluations are just a guideline, and they are important to go through the program and progress through the program, but there's nothing wrong with throwing some extra questions in there or talking to your evaluator beforehand and saying, hey, look, in addition to these questions, can you also pay close attention to whatever, something that you're focusing on, and make sure the evaluator communicates that with you. That's how you could really improve as a speaker.
Let me add two other quick points, and I will be quick. The whole mentorship, you know, every member in a Toastmasters club, the better clubs, that I've belonged to has had mentorship. And there's nothing to say that a distinguished Toastmaster cannot benefit from having a mentor. I know that I've had people who have steered me to the next challenge within the organization. And since I do facilitation and leadership coaching, and my book's about finding the best that's in an organization, you know, facilitating the genius that's in those organizations, I've had other people steer my career that way and learned along the way and made note of how we can learn by watching the talents of others. So that mentorship, the whole mentorship coaching program within Toastmasters kind of sets the stage for another way of getting that feedback. And then last but not least, I'm going to give a plug for advanced clubs. At advanced clubs, you sometimes have the more serious speakers going about using Toastmasters as a means to their end. I actually remember reading about a year ago in Toastmasters magazine, Rel Smedley talking about the whole speaking part of our experience is but the means to a greater end, and that's making us better, more productive citizens in society.
Cool. Yeah, I thought I'd just add my own thoughts on this topic of getting a more targeted evaluation. And my suggestion along those lines would be to, as we've been saying, stick with the manual for the evaluation so you get credit for the project and that you meet the objectives of the project. But you could also bring to the meeting a secondary evaluation form that you could pass to all the members of the club and put your specific, as Bo called them, custom questions on there, make them content focused. But I would say for a Toastmasters audience, you could have one question that said, is there anything regarding the delivery that you think I should know? And just leave it at that in terms of delivery so that you get some content on that, but that the majority will be things like, you know, what example did you find most helpful? Which example did you find least helpful? Was the logic and sequence clear? Those sorts of things.
Ryan, I think we have not only consensus, but a unanimous agreement on that point.
There's your facilitating genius skills bringing us in.
You brought the genius out of Ryan. I witnessed it right here.
Right. Hey, I'm curious what you guys think about how maybe people who are listening to this who aren't authors right now and don't even necessarily think of themselves as aspiring authors, but maybe they could be. It's funny that I think of the quote from Dan Poynter, who is someone who's been writing on the topic of self-publishing for many years, and he quipped something to the effect of, everyone has a book in them, and for most people, that's where it should stay. but that joke aside, I mean, we've had a client here at eBookit who published a series of speeches that she had given at her Toastmasters club. But what do you guys think about how could someone who maybe hasn't thought about doing a book before could use Toastmasters or content they've delivered or could deliver at Toastmasters to write their first book?
Well, I have a couple thoughts on that. One of which would be, it depends on the genre of the book. If you're into fiction, I can think of no better preparation than to run your chapters and your ideas by a storytelling club or a club that focuses on that particular theme or focus. I'm in the nonfiction manual or how-to kind of marketplace. And from that point of view, for me, a book, a presentation at a conference or a paper in a journal are extended calling cards. So I don't see myself, you know, knocking anybody off the New York bestsellers list who is writing fiction and selling millions of copies. My goal is to help organizations and perhaps thousands or tens of thousands of people. And so my view is kind of either governed or limited with that point of view. And there's at least one book in everybody. I can think of very few people who live such a boring life or a non-effective life that they can't contribute at least one book.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting thought there. when you are writing a book, or if you do have a book or some content that you want to deliver, Toastmasters Club may or may not be the right place depending on the content, as John alluded to. If you do have a fiction book, then sure, yeah, it depends on the fiction, and also depends on the, you know, the risqueness of the fiction.
50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, something like that you probably wouldn't want to bring to like a corporate club.
Right.
However,
probably not even a community club.
Yeah, probably not that either. It depends on
the community.
Exactly. Yeah. It depends on where you're doing it. But on some of the nonfiction stuff, if you are talking about some kind of technical area that's a very small niche, then yeah, it probably won't work. But a lot of nonfiction stuff, like how to find a date, how to have better health, a lot of the how-tos that are of general appeal, I think that that kind of content would go over well in an all-purpose club.
Hmm.
It all, of course, depends on the content. So I would say, I don't know, in my guesstimation, probably more than 50% of books, the books that are inside somebody that are just waiting to come out, probably fit that description, that they could be good books to run through a Toastmasters Club.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was thinking in preparation for this discussion today, I was thinking, geez, I guess we're really going to have to focus this just on nonfiction, because fiction probably doesn't apply. But then the more I thought about it, to John's point, the storytelling manuals,
yeah,
to be able to take characters from your book, even if you're not narrating, you know, the exact sequence of events from the story, but to even write a spin-off story as a speech to share your character and bring them to life to your audience. I mean, I think that can only help, and especially the storytelling manual, the assignments about using rich language and dialogue and all of those things, I think can only help your writing.
Yeah, I agree.
So, John, tell us, when is your book coming out, and how will people be able to find it once it's officially published?
Well, that's an excellent question, and to walk gingerly down that tightrope, I'm gathering the final phase of the reviews from folks who are looking at the pre-publication manuscript. I intend to most likely publish it electronically first, shop that around to more traditional publishers working with either agent or not. The idea, it could be published tomorrow. Let me tell you why I say that. This is, I've already been asked to speak at a district conference on this very topic. I intend to distribute and publish or sell that book in a thumb drive version, you know, in the back of the room if people have an interest in it. And of course, with the permission of the district officials that are governing and overseeing the conference. So I already know that there's a small audience that's interested in what I have to share, because they've invited me to a conference, and that's just months away. On a broader audience and broader distribution, you know, those are something, you know, that I don't think, I don't know the answer to that during this podcast. You know, maybe we need to talk offline about something like that, but I don't want to step outside of the agreed upon how to, you know, birth a book here.
You don't want to violate the contract, the Toastmasters
podcast. Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah. I mean, contract, we want to make sure that we keep this general and of interest to our entire audience. But it's within months, weeks and months, to answer your question as directly as I can.
All right.
Great. Well, we definitely wish you success with that. Look forward to following your progress as your book is released, and appreciate you coming on the show to explore this non-traditional topic with us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise, John. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.